It is not my desire to speak in self-justification or self-praise. There are people who, as a result of the suspension of the great struggle, assert that the Congress has been defeated. He would be a fool indeed who would expect that the pressure of the first intensive struggle for freedom should result in the immediate achievement of the objective. The great gain of our struggle is the moral advantage that India has acquired. When it was started on a basis of non-violence hitherto unknown to the world, 10 years ago we gathered under our banner 1,000 men and women. And 10 years later, notwithstanding ridicule, devices and designs to suppress it, we mustered a lakh of men and women who willingly suffered imprisonment so that their own loss of freedom might witness the spirit of India and her yearning for freedom. For every single man or woman that was arrested or imprisoned, there were hundreds who were beaten, bruised, and dispersed by the police. If a true census were taken of those who took part in the last struggle, I venture to say that it would be at least 2 million men and women who actively asserted India's right to freedom. At the close of such a struggle, the moral gain achieved is incalculable. No nation, however great, not even the nations that fought in the great war based on force in Europe, could continue the struggle on the same plane and with the same intensity and with the same degree of heroic enthusiasm for all time. There are always in such struggle a number of ups and downs. Ways and means must change, but the one aim which runs throughout it is to secure freedom. Standing before you, therefore, on what is apparently a more modest program, I wish to assure you that it is not a faint-hearted man that is speaking to you. The course of action we now place before you is not adopted out of faint-heartedness. It is not given to every one of us to frame national policy, to think out our measures, and to explain every single step. I have been asked many questions with regard to the future of the Congress program. The only answer I have to give is, let us do the nearest duty that lies before us, and the next step will unfold itself in unexpected clarity. It is in that spirit that I place before you this modest program. In the complex situation of our country today, what citizens, peasants, and laborers can do is to confide in those who are able to direct the national policy. I dare say that even voters in Great Britain and other democratic countries are in a similar plight. The world has become so complex that even the best democracies are conducted by citizens, placing their confidence in their leaders and representatives, rather than by attempting to decide and vote on particular measures. It is an irony of fate that those who have enslaved you should charge you with slave mentality because you give your allegiance to your trusted leaders. The All India Congress Committee have resolved to contest the elections for the Assembly and have appointed a board to organize work in that behalf. It is as the General Secretary of that body that I stand before you now and tell you what our next duty lies. It is quite unnecessary to go into the history of the circumstances which have led to this decision. But allow me to assure you that it has been taken after full deliberation of the actual circumstances and situation in which we now stand. We are not going to contest the elections except on two issues and two issues only. Please remember that it is not the type of election with which we have been familiar for some time past. It is not the election of A against B. It is not an election for the purpose of grabbing power, authority, or patronage. It is an election contested for the purpose of establishing national prestige. The first issue on which the Congress wishes to contest the elections is whether the country, notwithstanding its physical suppression, still firmly stands by the Indian National Congress. Please remember that it is not the type of election with which we have been familiar for some time past. It is not the election of A against B. It is not an election for the purpose of grabbing power, authority, or patronage. It is an election contested for the purpose of establishing national prestige. The first issue on which the Congress wishes to contest the elections is whether the country, notwithstanding its physical suppression, still firmly stands by the Indian National Congress, or whether the country approves of the policy of the government and the measures by which they claim to have become victorious conquerors of the Indian people once again. It is not for me to remind the people as to what the law was under which you and I lived during the struggle. Every one of us owes allegiance to law where it subserves the progress and liberties of the people for whom and by whom that law is made. To obey such law is a social duty. But what they call law were measures meant for the suppression of the right of the people. That is not the law which a man is called upon to obey, either by moral conscience or social obligation. If you do not approve of such law by which you were suppressed, you should stand with us. If you approve of such laws, you stand for the government and you stand for our subjection. The issue is great, and our purpose is even greater. The issue is whether our spirit is dead or alive, even though we have suffered physically. The issue is whether your sympathies are with those who have fought for your freedom or with those who have assisted in suppressing your freedom. Every vote you cast in the name of the Indian National Congress gives the lie direct to the assertion that you prefer to live under British domination rather than as free men under Indian Swaraj. On behalf of the Congress, we have come to you at the end of a great struggle in order that you may justify your confidence in those who suffered for you. Whoever is standing for any constituency on behalf of the Congress, he or she is but an emblem of the Congress itself. You must vote for him or for her, notwithstanding the opponent's wealth or title or position or influence. It is for the Congress you vote and not for individuals. The Congress is the standard you should respect and round which you should rally and under which you will live if you deserve to live as free men. The next issue on which the Congress asks you to cast your vote is an issue of equally great importance. It is whether you desire your own determination of your future government or whether you would be content with whatever constitution may be forced upon as determined by Britain. On that issue there cannot be two opinions. It is for you to give the right answer to justify the cause of the Congress. It is by the kindness of the Musical Products Limited that it has become possible for this message to reach every Indian home. And when it has reached there, it is a message of love of freedom, love of motherland, and confidence in the Indian National Congress, which stands for all the free, and which has always stood